The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, in terms of what I'd like to do this evening, I would like to give somewhat of a Dharma talk, but rather than giving a talk about something, I would like to give a talk that I'm hoping will bring you more directly into your own experience as you're having it, and to explore the nature of experience, some aspect of experience, here as you're listening to the talk. And as an introduction to this, what I'm going to do here, I would like to mention that in order to meditate effectively, in order to engage in this path of mindfulness that we do, it involves a shift from business as usual for how we engage our mind, how we think, or what's going on. And I don't know what's usual for everyone, but so maybe I should be careful saying that, but the shift is to go from preoccupation in the mind to go from being preoccupied about something to becoming aware of what is happening in your experience now. And that's a huge difference. So it's very easy, I think, to be preoccupied so much that you don't even know that you're preoccupied and caught up. The mind is so distracted by its distractions, you don't even know you're distracted, if you could follow that. An example that happened a couple of times to me over the years, driving down 280, and I think the first time it happened, and those of you who know 280 here, is I was driving south, and I was supposed to get off, probably to go teach people to be mindful, when we used to have our meetings in Palo Alto. I was going to get off at Page Mill Road, and I didn't notice the Page Mill Road exit until after I passed it. And that's not good news on 280 because it's a long way to the next exit. El Monte exit is kind of far down. So I got a long time to think and remember, where was I? I was aware enough to drive safely. I think that was clear. But I was so involved in whatever I was thinking about that I didn't have a keen awareness of what was happening. So I forgot that I was supposed to get off and didn't even notice the exit. So that's kind of representative of kind of being preoccupied. And the idea is to shift from that to becoming aware enough of what's happening, no longer caught in the grip or in the blindness of what we're concerned with, to open up and really be aware of what's happening in the present moment and some particular aspects of what's happening now. And that's a hard shift to make because it's a shift from, for some people sometimes, because what we think about can seem either very important or very attractive, very meaningful and very important. And so we have to think this. We have to be involved in this kind of concern, these feelings, something. And so we don't step back or don't open up to really notice this is what's happening in the present moment. So, for example, what's happening right now is here's a mind which is caught up in its thinking, that's very much involved in thinking. And if you kind of can see that, sometimes you'll say, well, I don't need to think this anymore. Or this is not a useful way of thinking. Or this is not a useful way of talking to myself. Self-talk, as you probably know, has a tremendous impact on how we feel. And people's self-talk sometimes is not very wise. Sometimes we tell ourselves stories about what's happening in our lives, and we tell ourselves kind of sometimes negative stories about ourselves, how terrible things are. Not realizing that it's just one interpretation, it's one way of framing what happened. There might be other ways of understanding and other stories to tell that are equally valid, but seeing it from that point of view might be much more meaningful. And to give an example that maybe is overdone, and that would be to have something very difficult that's going on, and one story would be, this is just really a bummer that I had this difficulty. So if you say, you tell yourself a lot, this was a bummer. Boy, what, how did this happen to me? Poor me. Versus, this is an unfortunate thing to happen, but this unfortunate thing gives me an opportunity to practice patience. It's a different story. Both stories maybe are true, but if you repeat the same thing over and over again, which story is going to have the best effect on you? So when people are preoccupied, they don't tend to question what they're preoccupied, how they're preoccupied, what stories they're telling themselves. And if the stories are not useful ones, they can have a tremendously negative effect on us and the world around us. If we know that we're thinking, then we can kind of look and see what we're thinking about. Is this useful to think this way? And or maybe there's other perspectives. Maybe it's true this way I'm thinking. It was a bummer. But how long am I going to keep thinking, bummer? Maybe I should tell myself a different story. And the story I'll tell myself is, this is actually a useful opportunity to develop patience. No, you don't understand, it's a bummer. It's a certified bummer, and it's important that everyone know that, including me. Everyone needs to know this. You know, this is like so important that we see it as a bummer. It was a bummer. It was bad. And we got to stay to that story. Some people are so loyal to their stories, right? And so it's possible to have a shift from what we're thinking about to being aware of what's happening in the present. Sometimes what we're thinking about might be really great. You might have a wonderfully meaningful preoccupation. You might be writing the great American novel. You might be writing the great solution to world hunger. All kinds of great things you could do. But it's still possible to be preoccupied with what the wonderful thing you're doing and not really notice how you're involved in that preoccupation. Maybe you're straining because you're so involved about the activity you're thinking about. You don't see the cost. You might be building up a lot of strain. So the example I like is this shift is that I can hold this striker in my hand. And if I'm really focusing and preoccupied with the striker, I can, in order to hold it really tightly, I could, because the striker is so important and it's important that nobody steal it from me, because my status as a meditation teacher is dependent on having a really good striker to show that I'm really worth my salt or something. So I'm going to really hold this tightly and close and not let it go. Because the striker is what I'm about. If I shift my attention from the striker to the hand that's holding the striker, then different things will happen. I'll tell myself different stories. If it's all about the striker, I'm going to tell myself stories about the striker. If it's about how I'm holding the striker, then I'm going to be concerned with other aspects. I'm going to notice, for example, my hand is going numb from how hold I tight it, that I'm getting repetitive stress syndrome because I hold this all the time. And I could tell myself a story. Well, this is probably not going to be useful in the long term to keep doing this to myself. I think these are good and trustable people here tonight. I think I can release the grip a little bit. I can hold it more lightly. And then as I do that, I see that it actually has a different effect on me than gripping it. So the shift is a shift from the thing to how I'm relating to the thing. And then you can explore it in different ways. And something different can happen. Does that make some sense? So a shift. So we're talking about doing a shift. And one of the shifts is to come into the present moment. So, I have a question for you. This is where I agree about turning this talk back to your experience, what's happening for you here. The first question is, as I'm giving this talk so far, are you aware? Are you aware? Is there awareness operating while you're listening to this talk? And if you're aware, how do you know that you're aware? Where's the evidence that you're aware? So now I'd like to hear some answers. It might be nice because there, from the number of you, because there might be different answers that you give. How do you know that you're aware? Use the mic. The mic's coming. Are you in trouble with both mics not today? Both mics are not working, huh? Wow. Does anybody know about mics?
I don't know about mics.
I think you have to maybe talk loudly if you're going to use it.
I guess I'm aware of lots of things, of movements and sounds in the whole meditation hall.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, so try it again, please.
Is this better?
Yes. Okay.
I guess I'm aware of other sounds in the meditation hall. I'm aware of other people in the meditation hall, as well as listening to you and taking in what you're saying.
So meaning that you know you're aware because you're recognizing things that are happening in the present moment. Is that the kind of simple way of saying it? Okay. Other ways that you know that you're aware.
I was applying what you said to something in my own life. I was applying what you said to something in my own life that's going on.
So you applied it to your own life. But how did you know that you were aware while you're doing that? Maybe you were kind of lost in thinking about it.
It didn't feel like it. Felt more like this is really worth looking at.
Yeah, so that's an
there seemed that there's a little bit of freedom from the grip of this thing that's been going on in my head about this individual.
Oh, so you can continue thinking about this issue around an individual, but as you did before, but you notice a difference between it being gripped by it.
Yes.
And so the idea, the feeling that there's some freedom from it, less gripping, that gave you evidence that you're aware?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
It's not the same old thing, same old story.
So, okay. So what other, how other ways that you know that you're aware? So you have to kind of feel your way into this, those of you who are not answering. feel into, as you're listening to people answer, as you're kind of staying here, how is it, you know, if you are being aware through all of this, kind of look and talk, how is it that I'm aware? How do I know that I'm aware?
You know, that's sort of what I was going to say, is the sense of, I almost feel the vibrations of your talk and everything hitting me, impinging on me, and it's like, you know, you touch something and you feel it, and when it comes in through my eyes and my ears, I'm sensing
that. You know you're
that.
Aware when there's sense contact happening. Nice. So when there's sense contact in the present moment, then, and you know that you're having sense contact, then you know you're aware, right? Here in the front.
I feel that when I'm listening to you, I'm listening from my body, and also feeling your energy underneath the words.
I see. So you know you're aware when you can, when you're aware through your body, listening through your body. Is that what you're saying? Okay, great. So we can pass it back.
I start with a grounding exercise of pressing my feet into the ground, and that brings me to the present. And then I start with my breath and being aware of my breath, and I know I'm truly aware when I feel my breath on my forearms.
So again, maybe sense contact. Mm-hmm. So you're aware of a sensory contact in your body, on your body, then you know you're aware of your breathing.
But the grounding exercise is fundamentally important for me to get out of my head in my day to be present.
It allows you to do that shift that I talked about.
A conscious shift, yeah. Mm-hmm,
great.
I just want to know, I felt like I was aware that I wasn't aware. You know what I mean? Like I was aware of you talking, and then I was aware that I wasn't aware of you talking.
So I see. So you
like weren't aware that I was thinking of something else while you were talking, and then I was aware of that.
I see. So you were aware that you weren't aware.
Yes.
And right. Yes. So many years ago, I was given tickets to go to the symphony. And so it was kind of unusual for me to be at the symphony. So there were good seats, looking down on the orchestra pit and whatever. And I think they were kind of expensive tickets also, maybe. And so during the first half, before intermission, I was mesmerized by what I could see in the orchestra pit. And I was kind of, my mind was chattering away. Look at that, and are those violins really, the bows really synchronized? And I wonder if anybody's a little bit behind, and the other bows, you know, violinists. And I was just kind of commenting and questioning and looking, look at that. And I realized after a while that I wasn't really listening to the music. I was certainly in the present moment, but I was supposed to be there for the music, not for wondering about what happens to the bows and the violin, right? And so by the second half of the, after the intermission, I came back, this is ridiculous. I really want to hear the music. So I closed my eyes. And that allowed me to really take in the music. And after a while, I'd kind of settled enough and got into the music enough, then I could open my eyes and not be carried away by what I saw. And so I knew that I wasn't aware for what I needed to be aware of, what I wanted to be aware of. But afterwards, I really knew that after I closed my eyes for a while, I knew that now I was aware of the music. And I really knew I was aware because I was tracking it. I was staying with it as it went on. So you started off by knowing that you weren't aware. And
that was aware, and then I knew I wasn't aware. Uh-huh. I was aware of not knowing I was aware.
Uh-huh. Great. Uh-huh. I think it's great. So maybe a couple of more, please. Could you bring the mic back, send the mic back across the room, please?
I think I would pick up on that same thing, that I know I'm aware when I wake back up after not being aware. I mean, the classic for me is going for a walk at Edgewood and, oh, beautiful trees and hear the birds and then all of a sudden I'll wake back up and realized I didn't know anything about the last 15 minutes of the hike because my mind was somewhere else. So it's when I wake up and the contrast
so great.
Tells me that the sense awareness is back.
Well, that's great. So that may be a good segue to the next part of this. So now the question for you is, what does it feel like to be aware? Independent of what you're aware of, it doesn't matter what you're aware of, but when you really recognize that you're aware, you know that you're aware, in that point, what does it feel like to be aware?
For me, it's a... It's a sense of a kind of expanded feeling, and I can feel my heartbeat and the pulse through my own body, and normally I'm aware of my breath, and there's a sense of relaxation and kind of like an observation as myself being part of the whole experience. There's a sense of, relaxation and acceptance, like satisfaction, mm-hmm. like a, you're just there.
So when there's enough, when awareness is clear enough, and you know that you're aware, there's relaxation, some sense of openness, maybe regardless of the important thing you're thinking about.
Yeah,
something different happens. Okay. Mm-hmm.
My experience is similar to his in that it feels very settled and very peaceful. And it's almost as if I'm taking in the experience through all the pores in my body, through my eyes, through my ears, through my hair, and a lot through my skin.
Fantastic.
I feel a tingling.
So when you really take in and aware that you're aware, there's this wonderful relaxation, tingling, feeling all your being like through the pores, right?
Right.
So if you leave here tonight, I don't know if you drove here or not, and you leave here, it's dark, you're alone, you're parked in a dark place, and you come out and see that your tire is flat. Can you go there?
Yes, and my state changed. I felt myself contract, and my eyes started moving back and forth a little bit, trying to figure out what was going on.
But when you came back to this place where you know that you're aware, what happens then? Is that place of relaxation and openness you talked about, is that accessible there? Is it relevant?
Yes, but not as much.
Good.
Yeah, but it's a movement toward that.
Is it relevant?
Yes, very much, because I very much want to be able to access the state of mind and awareness
in
situations that are challenging to me, and I can't always do that. And I like to. Yes, I hope that it develops with me.
Mm. Nice. So you're interested in that shift?
Yes.
Right next to you here.
When you said the flat tire, I immediately envisioned mine because I parked on the corner and I thought, this is a terrible place to park. Someone's going to hit me. Something's going to happen. And I walked away. And the flat tire, I suddenly thought, there's a contextualization thing, right? It's like, okay, you look, you see you've got a flat tire. You think, I don't want to fix this. Oh, thank God, I've got AAA. And I'm a member in good standing, and they'll come and fix my tire. And it takes me like these 10 steps to get there, to go over being pissed off or disappointed or whatever, and it's like, why not get there faster? So to me, it's all about sort of saving the time thinking, bummer, 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 and getting to the place where somebody else is fixing my tire. So that's
nice.
My metaphor.
Nice. Go ahead.
I'll just say that it's really a tremendous feeling of relief. Just to drop all the distractions, and I know that, again, that I'm aware when I'm coming back and I'm feeling that, and just to let go of the distraction is mostly like a to-do list that I'm hanging on to, like trying to repeat and not forget. And so it's a real relief to just be able to just listen and be, and I think, like, if I saw my slash tires, like, and I could get into the state of relief, it would just be like, okay, like, let's call AAA, you know?
So to have enough presence of mind that you're not only aware, you're already aware. I mean, clearly, if all of you go out and see your flat tire, you're aware, right? There has to be awareness operating, right? So that's like, you all have that minimum amount, right? But there's a qualitative different thing if the awareness is keen enough that you could say, I know that I'm aware, right? This is what we're talking about here. So, good. One more, maybe one more.
I can get into sort of a wide-angle awareness of everything. It seems like everything around me is there and very much in the present, but I can sustain that only so long, and then I start getting a tension that I find is probably part of what drives me back into getting lost in a thought or something like that.
So you appreciate the value of open awareness. Awareness is keen enough, you know that you're aware, but sustaining it is a strain.
Yeah, I can actually just sort of sense this strain.
Yeah, yes. So here's an exercise for all of you. So we've been talking about awareness. Some of you have been turning around looking at what, you know, like your own awareness, hopefully, while we're doing this. And what is this like, my awareness? So now, what I'd like to do is to do the opposite for you. So now stop being aware. Just kind of cut it out. Take a break. No, make no effort to be aware. Just like, come on, you guys. You're not listening. Like, I really mean it. Just stop. So what happens when you just stop making the effort and you stop being, what happens? Can you stop it? Can you turn it off?
Yeah, every night.
Every night. No, I'm talking about now.
No,
exactly. Thank you. Now. So, Jim, if you can't stop it, is it a strain? What are you doing that makes it a strain?
Well, this situation is sort of like telling somebody, do not think of an elephant.
But you think what I'm trying to point to is that, can you be aware without making any effort to be aware? Awareness require effort. There can be an effort, right, to pay attention in certain ways. And so maybe the strain you felt involved efforting. And maybe there's another way of being open and aware that doesn't exactly require effort. Could that be? It almost requires the absence of effort rather than efforting to make it work. So, why do people, some people have no idea about the value of awareness, of noticing that you're aware. They've never been taught, this has never been pointed out to them. And because they don't know it, they don't pay any attention to it, they don't give it any value. Also, many things that people think are important in life, they don't think are available through something that is just so like ordinary or invisible. I mean, awareness is like, it's like the fish that doesn't see the water it swims in. We don't see the awareness that through which we operate. And what's important is what we're aware of, not awareness itself. And so, you know, there's no monetary value in being aware. That you're aware. There's no monetary value to have, you know, use your awareness. What's important about awareness is to be present and aware enough in order to make money or, you know, get what you want or avoid what you don't want. And so there's very good we can be very motivated to keep thinking about, keep being involved in what we think is important. So if we think it's important to analyze everything as a bummer, boy, it's a bummer, then we'll stay focused on that. Or if we think that what's important is to be safe, we'll focus, get preoccupied by how am I going to make myself safe with this group of people. Or if we think it's important, you know, you can go through the list, right? But because there's no ordinary value in awareness itself, people are not going to give it much attention. So the question is, what shifts inside of you? Some people said this already, some things already, but I'd like to go through this again. What shifts inside of you that is useful when you bring awareness, your attention into the scope of awareness? That you're clearly, or you're aware, mindful that you're aware. How is that valuable? How might that be really valuable? Even though you can't sell it. So where's the mic?
I think it seems more like osmosis or diffusion.
Confusion?
Diffusion. Diffusion. Uh-huh. Osmosis. Let's say osmosis.
Yeah.
With that it's like a process that just happens if I get out of the way. So if I'm not efforting over this list, this running list, or, it's mostly thinking about what I'm going to do, and I get out of the way, then I can be more present. And it seems like it's almost a natural process, like osmosis.
Great. Natural process. Get out of the way of it. It operates. Beautiful. So what are some other valuable things?
I found a great value in being mindful and being aware that I'm aware when I'm speaking, because I would say things from the past and out of habit, and now I catch myself saying things that I'm aware of. I'm aware that I'm saying things that I don't really want to be saying.
So it's not just what we say, but in all kinds of ways we have more choice and responsibility then over what we do and say, because we are tracking it while it's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So we can be wiser. We can live a wiser life. We'll try to get the mics fixed. We've had problems now for a couple of months with them on and being on and off, so then we don't have to have all this traveling back and forth. Though maybe it's nice. It gives us a chance to be aware. Check in.
I used to write poetry, and I had some success with it. Like, I published, and I won a few prizes, and I'd go to poetry conferences. And I would, walk in the hills, and I'd want to, express, I found myself, what's another word for cold? What's another word for, drift? And how can I say, a ring of cattails in a better way? And I realized that the poet was standing in between myself and the experience. And all the translating was going on, and this need to tell about it was really interfering with the experience itself. And I first thought that it was great to walk in the hills because I had product from it, and the product was the poems. And I began to feel that that wasn't product enough, it wasn't a fair trade for just the experience of simply wading in the water without having to name it and relate to it and judge it as beautiful or not beautiful. And I just put it all down. I just put it all down. And I no longer write poetry because I really prefer not to have words in between me and what's happening.
Nice. Very nice. Thank you. So this points to something else, that if it's a beautiful, warm, refreshing spring day, and the windows and curtains in your home are closed, you're inside, you can turn on the news and the newscaster can explain how it's a beautiful spring day. and then you know. And then you know, right? But if you open your window and the curtains and open the window, then without you making any effort on your own, standing by the window, the fresh air and the breeze and the kind of clean feeling in the air will come to you by itself, right? It just comes. It just arises like that if you're not caught up. So one interesting question is that when you're aware that you're aware, if you're really abiding in awareness is really strong, and you stepped out of your preoccupations, is there something equivalent to the spring breeze arising on its own that can happen to you, but not the external world? Like you can be more aware of, like you described beautifully, but be more aware of the hills and the flowers and really be there for the experience. But is there a spring breeze that can arise out of your own heart from within in that space, in that with the windows open in your heart? What can flow out of that? But some people do.
Okay.
That some people need you to have it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah,
that's good. You brought that back, because when I was saying earlier, when you're in that point of awareness, what does rise within for me is that sense of. A sense of compassion. I think it's a sense of a peace and compassion, and a sense of joy, of a sense of actually a love arises, and that's the real benefit for me of awareness, is by stopping, no effort, then the experience can just arise.
So you trust the arising of something,
yeah,
in the space of awareness. When windows open, you trust what's going to come there. That's what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So which can seem to be a very, if someone's never had that experience, it can be a very foreign idea,
uh-huh,
for sure. But wonderful.
It's a beautiful feeling.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
So we're running out of time. I hope this is interesting for you. Because we're talking about one of the great, precious, renewable resources you carry with you all the time. And so it's lucky it's renewable, but it's also precious that you have this amazingly precious thing. And there are Buddhist teachers over the centuries, who've written odes, beautiful poems and songs about awareness, because it's been such an important quality, it's such an important asset for this process of freedom. And you have it. You know, you have this tremendous gift, you have this jewel that you carry with you everywhere you go. And it's possible to do a shift at any moment, and things can change very quickly. And sometimes you get helped. The shift can change. The circumstances can be a trigger to make the shift. You can be walking down the street and be preoccupied by something, and you can get some kind of, suddenly you get a text message and you get some news. It could be really good news, it could be really terrible news, but suddenly you kind of wake up from your reverie, and now the world shimmers, like it's alive, like it's too alive almost. You're like, now you're really aware. Maybe some of you have had that experience, something, or, you know, if you've ever visited someone who was dying, you might have been caught up in all kinds of things during the day, and a lot of bummers. That's a bummer, it's a bummer, it's a bummer. Oh boy, it's such a big bummer, and life is always a bummer, bummer, bummer. And then you go to visit your friend who's dying, and you're not thinking bummer at all. I mean, it's a bummer that he's dying, but it's something poignant and alive and present, and your awareness is like fully there because of what's there. You know, it's there. Some people will go rock climbing, something like, or do dangerous sports, so they can have that experience of being so clear and alert and just there. So I hope this is interesting for you, because I wanted to do one more thing, if I can, with you. There's a lot more we could do. So, what are some of the verbs, some of the activities, what are some of the things people do with their awareness? So, for example, so you just maybe don't understand. So, I was lost, and I brought my awareness back. So that's what you do. Awareness is something you bring back. people use that kind of language. What other words like that do we use to describe what we do with awareness?
Focus.
Sorry?
Focus.
Focus awareness, okay?
Shift.
Sorry?
Shift.
Shift awareness. I shifted awareness.
Note.
I noted my awareness. I was aware that I recognized my awareness. Okay, you recognized it. Depend on?
Intend.
So intended to be aware?
Settle.
Hmm?
Settle.
We settle the awareness. I settled my awareness.
Broaden.
Broaden awareness.
Reach out.
I extended my awareness. So my friend was in need and I extended my awareness to be present.
Cultivate
awareness.
Recognize
awareness. Expand awareness.
Allow
awareness.
Enjoy
awareness.
Revel.
Revel in awareness. That's great to revel, but I bet revel is getting close to being caught up again, preoccupied. I bet it's been getting caught up and preoccupied. It happens right on the edge. It's right on the edge of my guess.
Curious
about awareness. That's nice. Yes, speak loudly then in the back. I can't hear. Rest in awareness. We can rest in awareness.
Awe.
We have awe with awareness.
Appreciate
awareness. So what do we do to awareness? A lot of these are great answers, but the question is, I'm actually interested in something a little different. Some of you answered my question the way I'm hoping to get it across. What activity do we do with awareness? So appreciate awareness is about the awareness. But bringing awareness back. My mind went off thinking one more time, and I jerked my awareness back, to my breath. I took my awareness and I pounced. I kind of like pounced back on my breath. What are some of the things we do with awareness?
Allow.
We allow the awareness. Yes.
Drop in.
We drop into awareness. Okay.
Wake up
into?
Wake up into.
Wake up into?
Concentrate
awareness.
Catch.
We catch awareness. Like, really? I haven't learned that one. We direct awareness. Connect awareness.
We open
the awareness up.
Resume.
Sorry?
Resume
awareness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and speaking of the shift,
yeah.
The clutch would be realize. The mind realizes, or your brain realizes, oh, and we'll play it on your words there.
So we realize that, what do we realize?
You're realizing that you're aware.
Your brain
recognizes,
okay,
that you're aware.
Yeah, that's good. It's a very important thing to realize. But that's, again, a little bit, that's removed from the awareness. So that's knowing about the awareness. Now I'm saying, what do we do with the awareness once we know we're aware of it? We lose it. Yeah. But I guess I'm sorry I'm not so clear, but I guess we don't usually lose it intentionally. Once we know we're aware, what do we intentionally do with our awareness?
Choose
awareness, okay.
Practice
awareness? Yes?
Live consciously.
What's that? Louder.
Live consciously.
So once we recognize it, do we stay with it? Living. Revel again, boy.
Nurture.
So there's a lot of things you can do with it. And so what I'd like to, those of you who found this interesting, I would encourage you to, this next week, to explore these things on your own. How do you know that you're aware? what's it like to be aware? What does it feel like to be aware? And what does it feel like to be, what does it feel like to, and what's interesting is this little shift between being aware to being, to knowing that you're aware. To awareness so strong, there's kind of a self-reflective, reflective quality to, yeah, I'm aware. That's what's happening now. So it's, you know, it comes up this way as an example. It's like you're in the rain and you're wet and you know that you're wet. You're in the field of awareness and you know that you're in the field. You know you're present. What is that? What is that? What's that? There's a secondary knowing, right? The awareness of being aware. What does that feel like? What are the qualities, the characteristics of that? What are the benefits of having your awareness? When you're aware of things in the world, what's the benefit to you of being so aware of it that you know that you're aware? Not that you're going around, I know I'm aware. But it's like, it stands out so strongly that if someone asked you, of course, yes, I really knew that I was aware because it's that strong. And then when you rest in there, when you allow for that, do you trust what arises in that state? Do you trust, in a sense, do you trust what arises when the window is open? Do you trust what arises when the window of your mind is open? Or do you feel like you have to be in charge of everything and you have to be the doer? Or is there a kind of something, feelings, intentions, thoughts, all kinds of things that can arise in that space? Do you trust that, what arises? Do you have any experience of what arises in that space? What is that like for you? And what are all the different things you can do with awareness? I suggest that there's many, many things that we do. There are different. You mentioned many of them here. There's many more things that we do with awareness. And you might study your use of what happens when you're aware in your daily life. And what are some of the conscious and unconscious ways that you use awareness? When do you narrow it? When do you almost like grasp the awareness, like you're looking at something and really, when do you step back and rest back? When do you open? When do you close with it? When do you tighten up? When do you jerk it around? When do you or something inside of you begin dimming it? When does it brighten? So there's a whole kind of rich world of it. And if you do this over the next week, explore it this way, it'd be nice if you could be inspired or be encouraged in this exploration on your own by the idea that there's something about the quality, the characteristics of being aware, of knowing, which is the most precious, most beautiful, most valuable thing that you have in your possession. I don't know if you want to say possession exactly, but in your life. And that's saying a lot, right? More important, more valuable than anything else. And you might argue with me and say, well, wait a minute, something else is more important. But it's okay to have a different opinion about something else being more important. But maybe at least give me a little bit of credibility. That maybe this is like second best or third best. It's still really high up there in what's valuable. Don't dismiss it, but get really curious this week. Find some way this week to really reflect and think, explore. But don't think too much. Feel your way in. Feel your way in. Feel your way into what is it to be aware? How do you know that you're aware? What does it feel like to be aware? What are the qualities of being aware? What do I do with awareness? And if you have friends you can talk to about this without them thinking you're crazy, talk to friends about it. Really work this and explore and find. And then next week I'll give another talk on awareness. That good? Mm-hmm. So I hope you enjoy, and those of you who find it useful, revel in this. Thank you.